You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Well, this morning we're going to get into the book of Acts again and finishing up our series on called Rush, where the Holy Spirit has rushed into the picture. The early church has started, and it's just an incredible story of what God did and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And as we get to the last part of Acts, Acts 2, 42 through 47, what we find is we find kind of just a picture of what it looks like for believers to be all in. We've been talking about that a lot. In fact, our volunteer t-shirts this year say all in. And I want to talk to you a rush of devotion, because you see Acts 2, and Acts 2 only happened because Christ's followers were all in. It only happened when those people were in the upper room crying out to God, the disciples, the people, the apostles, the people crying out to God saying, God, move, Holy Spirit, show up. We need you to be here, Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the crowds around the upper room literally saw the fire of God fall on that upper room. And they literally were saying, God, we want to see you move in our lives. It made them wonder, who is this God? Who is this Holy Spirit that is falling and starting roofs on fire and falling like the tongues of fire on them? It made the whole world wake up and see that Jesus was real. The Holy Spirit was powerful. It literally turned the whole story of the church upside down. As we look at chapter 2, you see what happened when the infilling of the Holy Spirit came on the scene on the day of Pentecost, just 50 days after the resurrection. And I'm excited. I can't wait to celebrate Pentecost this year. It's coming. It's going to be an awesome Sunday, the third Sunday of May, right after Mother's Day. Don't want to miss that. There were 120 people in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell. When the Spirit fell, crowds of people that had gathered around the upper room, they were so in awe. And these crowds, they were there for the festival of feasts. So which meant that people from around the world came back to Jerusalem to be able to actually be there for that festival of feasts. And as the gospel, the church was just lit on fire, it meant that the gospel would be taken to all the corners of the earth in one event. And you start to see the gospel spread like wildfire. The people in the crowds were there and they were wondering, God, what are you doing? Many of these people would receive Jesus. They'd take the gospel back to their homes. The gospel was meant to spread. The gospel, Jesus, the message of Jesus was meant to multiply through the earth. And it wasn't just meant to multiply back in the book of Acts. It's meant to multiply today. And I can tell you, people need to know who Jesus is and have their lives transformed more than ever before. It's the same need that they had back at the day of Pentecost is the need that this world still has today. We see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit literally light the early church on fire. Scripture tells us that in one day over 3,000 people were added to the church. I am amazed by 3,000 people sitting there thinking about, could you imagine what would happen if 3,000 people got saved in one day at our church? I think it could happen, don't you? I mean, you might go, are there even 3,000 people in St. Louis that don't know Jesus? Yes, there's about 60% of the population who doesn't know Jesus in St. Louis, which would mean over 1 million people don't know who Jesus is in this region. Think about that. As we come to the end of the book of the end of Acts chapter 2, we see a theme that's repeated over and over in the book of Acts. You see it throughout Scripture. Why was God able to move? Why was the Holy Spirit able to move like He did at this moment in history? One, because He's God, He can do whatever He wants. But two, because there were believers and Christians who were all in. They said, Jesus, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes to see this gospel spread. Jesus, we'll do whatever it takes to see Your name lifted high. Jesus, we'll do, our lives are Yours. Everything we are is Yours. And I believe that if there were not committed all-in believers at this moment in history, we'd be reading a completely different story. There were people who were all in. There were people who gave everything to be Christ followers. They were completely devoted to each other, to Jesus and the mission He called them to. What does devotion mean? The dictionary says devotion is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. So when we say they were all in, that they were devoted, they loved, they were loyal to the cause. There was enthusiasm for Jesus, enthusiasm for the gospel. There was activity. They didn't just sit around and talk about it. They had skin in the game. They didn't just sit around and say, oh boy, it would sure be nice to see a church grow, but we're not going to do anything to make it happen. They were saying, we're all in. Whatever it takes, Jesus, we're all in. We're all in to see this gospel be spread. Why? Because it meant people's lives. Those 3,000 in that first day, that means, let's think about what that means. Because we sit and we go, oh boy, that 3,000 is great. That is 3,000 people who would be going to heaven instead of hell, wiped away in one day. That's what it's about right there. There were 3,000 people whose eternity and destiny and destination were changed in one day. That's what we have to get to. Do we really believe that this world is dying and going to hell without Jesus? Do we really believe it? Because if we do, it means we need to be all in. We got to be all in to say, God, whatever it takes in my life, I'm ready to see you move. I want to be all in. Christianity wasn't just something they did amongst all their other social activities. They didn't just add Jesus to the rest of their activity schedules and try to fit him in when the schedule allowed. Jesus became everything to them. The people of the early church allowed Jesus to radically transform their lives. Some might say, well, you know, we're not saved by what we do. You're absolutely right. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace to be champions for Jesus. We're saved by grace to take this message to everyone we meet, everyone we know, to see them set free and freedom to come into their lives. If you think all you did was to get saved, to be saved and change your destination, have fun with that, but that's not why you were saved. Why you were saved was because Jesus wants to use your life to change other people. It's a gospel of multiplication. It's not just an add-on. It's not just something, well, I'll be a Christian on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, it doesn't matter. It was every day. It's radical. It changes. It transforms. They didn't just go to church. They were the church. They weren't just going to church for an hour and a half to get their God on and then going back to real life. Being a Christ follower changed everything about them. Being a Christ follower changed how they responded to the people around them. They lined up their priorities with God's priorities. If you cannot tell a person is serving Jesus, I wonder if they are. It should transform us. It should change our outlook. It should change what we put our time and our effort into. Jesus became everything to them and it changed their whole outlook. They were all in. They had skin in the game. The devotion that Christ followers had is a big part of why Acts 2 was so incredible and the church exploded, because there were people who were on fire. You know, we can sit around and say, we'd love to see our church grow. But you know what? If we're not going to be the church, it'll never grow. And why do you say, well, growth is just for growth's sake? No, because every person that gives their life to the Lord is a soul that goes from hell to heaven. It changes their destination. It changes where they're headed. The devotion that we see modeled in Acts 2 is the same kind of devotion that Jesus asked from us today. That has not changed. Well, Pastor, we're living in a different world today. Yes, we are. It was much easier for them to be devoted back then than it is today. Really? They didn't have Walmart where you could just go pick off food off the shelf. They had to literally fight for their existence every day. It was not easier to be a Christ follower back then than it is today. We look at that and we go, well, it must have been so much easier. Life was so much simpler back then, really? They didn't have the kind of technology. They didn't have a washing machine in their back room to wash their clothes. They didn't have a dishwasher. They didn't have the modern things that we have. It wasn't easy back then. It's not easy today. But when did we ever get told it was going to be easy? In fact, what did Jesus say? You're going to suffer just like I did, but it's worth it, every minute of it. It's not about being easy. It's about saying, Jesus, whatever it takes to be all in, I'm ready to be all in. It's the kind of devotion that will change the world and win people to Jesus. And I can tell you, if you look at churches who are making impacts in their community, it's because the people are all in. That's where you read about churches that are running 30 and 40,000. And I'm not saying it's just about growth, but I want you to hear me when I'm saying this. Their people are all in. Everyone is on the same mission. Everyone is moving together. Everyone is saying, Jesus, it's about souls, and it's about life change, and it's about transformation. That's what Acts 2 was all about. If we want to see the world changed, it means we got to be all in. Means we got to say, Jesus, everything I have, everything I am is yours. Our devotion will set the world on fire. We say all the time that we need to be Acts 2, a New Testament church. That only happens when we have Acts 2, New Testament Jesus followers fully devoted in every area of their lives being the church. Turn with me to Acts 2, 42 through 47 as we end up this portion of Scripture. And listen to what was recorded. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And an awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What is the miracle in Acts 2? What is the true miracle in Acts 2? I think, yes, it's the church. It's the Holy Spirit falling. But I think what we read as believers decide to be all in, that's the true miracle, because that's what changes the world. That's the true miracle as we read this. Why would Jesus put this in Scripture? Why would He take the real estate? Why would God say, I want to inspire somebody to write this and take the real estate? Because it gives us what it looks like to be an all-in Christian. It gives us what it looks like to be all in. The power of Christ followers being all in. Lives are being changed. Some words that I see in here is everyone. You know what that means? It means everyone. It wasn't the 20-80 principle that we see today. You know what is said about the church today overall, the big capital C? It's that 20% of people do 80% of all the work in the church. Or 20% of the people give 80% of all the finances. If Jesus wanted that policy and way that the church operated, He would have said, well, 20% we're in. But what did He say? He said, say it one more time. What did He say? He said, everyone. That means you. That means everyone in the seats. If you were to take that principle to Acts 2, it means everyone in this room would be all in. Another word that He used in the Scripture is all. Like you see the author saying it over, like everyone, all. Everything was another word that you see. They were willing to give everything they had to anyone in need. They also had everything in common. That means everything we own, our schedules, our time, our talent. Jesus asked for everything. And I go, oh, that's a lot to ask for. Yes, it is. How about this? Every day is another thing that we see. This lifestyle of all in was a constant everything, for everyday thing for these believers. It wasn't one day of the week and then don't come back to it for another week. Such a powerful, simple message. Christ calls us to be all in, fully devoted. When a person is all in, it shows in their actions. Their schedule shows it. Their bank account shows it. When a person is all in, a fully devoted believer, their life shows it. Your priorities and what's important in life will be transformed. You are what you do. And sometimes we go, well, I'm saved by grace. And we think that takes our responsibility to be all in off. You are what you do. So what you do shows you people what you believe. The actions, the way you live your life as believers. And sometimes we forget that, but as believers, we show what we believe about God by how we live and how we walk. If we want to reach our neighbor, our city, our region, and our world, it's going to take you and me being all in. fully devoted followers of Christ. It's the only way a church can be who Jesus called us to be. A church that you and I, we're the DNA of this church. Because the church is made up of the people. It's not a building. It's not a name. It's not a brand. It's the people that are there. We are the DNA of our church. If the people are lukewarm in a church, then the church will be lukewarm. If the people are fully devoted, all in Christ followers, the church will mirror that. And it'll change the world. That's the kind of church that Jesus will show up at. That's the kind of church where incredible life change will happen. It's the kind of church that changes the world. Today, really quickly, and you might go, oh man, 8 points, it's going to take forever. I'm going to go quick. So get ready. Get buckled in. I had 6 shots this morning, so we're going to move on this thing. Of espresso. To let everyone know. So nobody can bust my chops for saying 6 shots. Because everybody goes, of what? Espresso. Somebody on my Facebook the other day, I got to tell you, it's so funny. We have a nurse in our church, and she put a full-on a bag, what do they call IVs? She put a bag of Starbucks in a caffeine or an IV bag. She's a pastor, I'm bringing it for you. I go, bring it, come on, let's do it. All right. So what are 8 traits of an all-in, fully devoted Christ followers? The signs should be evident in our lives, and I'm going to go quick. Here it is. Trait number one, devoted to growing. Devoted to growing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The people in Acts 2 were hungry to learn. They were devoted to growing. They never stopped growing. They were hungry for it. They wanted to learn more. I've said this and I'll say it again. The average believer in the church in America today stops growing when they're 7 years in. They give their lives to the Lord. 7 years later, they stop growing. These guys were devoted, and I believe that you could track this history of the church, and all throughout the whole book of Acts is going to show us that they were devoted for all of their lives to learning and growing. Looking at the definition of the word devoted, it's important here. The definition is to display, to study, or the discussion of. Think about this, 3,000 people had just become new believers that Sunday, or whatever day it was. Talk about the discipleship they'd have to go through. 3,000 people were hungry to know about Jesus. Growth has to be a priority in our lives. If you have just given your life to the Lord recently, I encourage you, get into our Start 9 a.m. group here at church. For 5 weeks, we teach you what it means to be a believer. And then at the end, we give you a Bible with your name inscribed on it. Get into that group. Find out what it means. If you've been a believer for a long time, don't stop growing. Get into our other groups. Trait number two. They connected to other believers. Fellowship, relationship, connection. Acts 2:42, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. This is where we get our idea to eat together. That's why we eat so much in church. Praise God. Because you go back to Acts 2, and then everything has to be about eating. And I'm not sure, our projectors are just filled with the enemy today. All right, there we go. Good job back there, guys. Eating was an important part of fellowship. Listen, here's the truth. If the enemy can get you separated from other believers, you're going down. And it takes connection. It takes, you know what, don't sit here and tell me, well, you know what, church just really isn't friendly. My question back to you is, are you being friendly? Because it goes both ways. Are you being connected? Are you looking for ways? Listen, if you're in the back row and you're like slipping out right after service and nobody even knows your name, no wonder. Come on, get connected. They were connected. They loved each other. They were connected to believers. We had to make room in our schedule to fellowship. I believe, you know, it's so interesting because we're in a world today where we could be more connected than ever by Facebook and social media, but people are more disconnected than ever because they're not having that one-on-one relationship, that connection point of learning. And you know what? You can get a lot from social media, but you can never feel how much a person loves you. That's why we need each other so desperately. Not only did connection happen on a corporate level, but as you read down the Acts 2, you see that it happened in individual homes. They were having people over. I want to encourage you, let's have some people over in our homes in this church. You're like, I don't know about that. Acts 2. Let's have some people over. Let's have some dinners together. Let's have some connection points. Let's get connected. I want to encourage you. Have people in your homes. It might mean you have to clean them. Listen, it's okay if you just shut your bedroom doors. Okay? Nobody's going in your bedroom. Okay? But this portion of Scripture really shows when we say we love each other, there has to be connection with that. Connecting with a healthy, life-giving relationships is key for a church to grow. Trait number 3, praying people. We've got to be people who pray. Acts 2:42, and to prayer, being talking devoted to prayer. Prayer should be a key part of your every believer's life. Prayer should be a part of this church. That is what moves us forward, being committed to prayer. Prayer is being connected to God 24 hours a day. Life is not meant to live without prayer. We are not meant to be disconnected from God. And prayer is not about the words we use. It's not about how eloquent we could be. It's about our heart. The Lord wants to connect with everyone in this room. And the avenue that He connects is an alive prayer life. You show me a church that prays, and I'll show you a church that's reaching the world. And I'm not talking just wimpy prayers. I'm talking about people who will show up and know how to pray. Prayer is like rain in a desert. Trait number 4, they were filled with awe and wonder. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. The miraculous signs and wonders that God does should never be taken for granted. We should never look at what God did in John's life and go, well, that was really nice, but that was so last year. How about we say, God, do it again. God, do it again. Lord, let this be a place where the miraculous happens. Let's be in awe and wonder of what God does. I can tell you right now, many people around the world are in awe and wonder of what Jesus has done in our church. And that's not a prideful statement. That's saying, Jesus, thank you for showing up here. Lord, thank you for showing up here and touching the lives of people. We have to remember the potential of what God wants to do and the people that He's touching. Because every person walking in that needs a miracle is walking in hurt, broken, lost. They need Jesus to show up. They're desperate. Many people who need a miracle, they are desperate. They have been told by doctors, there's nothing else we can do. Have you ever been told there's nothing else we can do and there's a death sentence written over your life? How about they come in here and get freed and healed and that death sentence is reversed and they have a new, fresh start? How about that? Many people are desperate. We have to remember why God gives us miracles, signs, and wonders. It's not just to hold on to it. It's to show the world who our God is. If we're not excited about how God's working, why would the world be excited? If His own people aren't excited about how God's working, why would the world be excited about it? We got to be fans. We got to say, Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Trait number 5, and I'm hurrying, generosity and time, talent and treasure. Acts 2:45, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had a need. The generosity of Christ's followers in the book of Acts is amazing. Their generosity in every aspect of their lives is a model for you and I. Generosity. Freely giving. Freely saying, God, my time, my talent, my treasure are yours. I want to give back to you, God. You know what? I think it speaks to the world that God chose to fund His church by His people. We're not funded by the government, thank the Lord. We're funded by people who believe in the mission, you and me. No government gets to walk in here and tell us what we're going to do. Because what happens in this room, the people of God who believe fund it. And I can tell you, what does that say to the world? It says, man, those people really believe in what they say. Because it gets down into their pocketbook. It gets down into their time, their treasure, their talent. A church will not work if you're not willing to serve. If we have to pull teeth to say, can you please serve? It doesn't work. How about we have everyone in this room say, where can I serve? Where can I get plugged in? Listen, we're having a hard time getting ushers to serve for a service. We need your help. Get plugged into ushering where you get to smile. And that's for men and women. It should not have to pull teeth to get people to get plugged in. It got really quiet. Thank the Lord. Let's move right along. I'm serious though. All in means that we serve. All in means that we give. All in means that we put that in our schedule. The more generous we are, the more people we can reach. Trait number 6. This might get a little hairy. Commitment to attending church. Acts 2:46, every day, say it with me, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That was their version of church. Going to the church was not an afterthought to the people in Acts 2. They went to church every day. Being in God's house has to be a priority for you and me. Today in America, the average church member attends twice a month. Because schedule gets too busy. There's too many activities to do. We can go next week. We can go next month. Let's buck the trend here. Let's be here. Let's be plugged in. Make your church attendance a priority. Make serving in church a priority. You need the church, and the church needs you to accomplish the mission. Listen, I didn't write this. I'm just the messenger, so don't shoot me. I'm just going scripture by what God said. Being in the house of God has got to be a priority. If His people aren't even here, how would we expect the world to be here? I can tell you this too, the enemy loves to keep people away from church. And the Sundays that you miss, and I mean, we all have to miss Sundays, I get it. So I'm not talking about, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying is, the Sundays you don't feel like going are probably the Sundays you need to be here. Because God has a word for you. Keep in mind, what does the enemy love to do? He loves to keep us away from hearing the gospel. He loves to keep us away from hearing the truth. Parents, moms and dads, your kids need to be in church. Please, don't let activities take your kids out of church week after week after week. Your kids are watching where your priorities are in life. If being in God's house and serving is always your last priority, then it will be theirs too. I love you, but I got to tell you that. We wonder why kids grow up and don't serve the Lord if they've never been in church and they take off afterwards. And I'm not saying that's the case always. So I don't want you to go, well, man, you know, I'm having a hard time with my kid and I had him in church. This is not something to beat us up. This is something to say right now where you're at. If you're raising kids, make sure they're here. Make sure they're plugged in. Trait number 7, glad and generous hearts. People were glad. Acts 2:46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were happy. They were glad. There was generosity. Christians should be some of the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we have a hope and a future. Christians should be some of the happiest people in the world. They should have gladness. Why do we have gladness? Because of what Jesus did for us. Because what Jesus does for us and because of what He's going to do in the future. Our gladness speaks volumes to the world around us. People do not want to be around down and depressed Christians. They want to be around people who are glad. Who are happy. Who don't add to their negativity. We have to be careful that we also aren't causing strife and broken relationships everywhere we go. We got to be different than the world. We got to not let the things of the world hold us down. That's why we see in Scripture, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. In this Scripture, you also see again the key strategy of reaching people is having them break bread in homes, that connection. If you're not part of a home group, I encourage you to be part of a home group. Trait number 8 as we get ready to wrap up. Praising God. Acts 2:47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The people knew how to praise. It was an outward expression of their praise. There was outward expression. I preached on this on Wednesday night. If you didn't hear that message, I encourage you to do it. When you, and this was an analogy that I used. If you went to a Cardinals game and everybody, every fan stood like this, I don't know how to cheer. I don't know how to clap. What would you think about those fans? You'd be like, they are the worst fans ever. But we walk into church and it's the same way. I don't feel comfortable with raising my hand. Do it just a little bit. And when you get a little more comfortable, raise it up a little more. Well, I'm not really a good singer. I can't really sing. And I'm not saying how you worship. How you worship is totally up to you. Just do something. Well, I'm not a good singer. Hey, make a joyful noise to the Lord. No one cares how you sing. What if I get a little bit too crazy? David danced naked. I'm just telling you. Now, we're not doing no naked dancing in church. That would definitely make the headlines. But I'm saying do something. Worship and praise is physical response to what God's doing. Praise is a tool that we have to break off the chains of the enemy. And when we come in here, we're not spending 30 minutes because we have nothing better to do. That first 30 minutes is spiritual warfare where we come. It doesn't matter what we sing. You don't even have to know the words. You can sing, like I said Wednesday night, you can sing watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. I don't care what words you're singing. Worship Him. Well, it's just not my style of worship. Well, you know what? It's okay. Boy, you're like, whoa, we got to get out of here. It's time. Whoa. Praising God. And you know what? That's a tool for you. It's a tool for you. In Scripture, praising God with physical expression includes dancing, shouting, clapping, leaping. Oh, we get some leaping going on in here. Making a joyful noise, singing, bowing, kneeling, lifting hands, shouting, playing instruments, and standing in awe of God. However you worship is up to you and God. Do something. And I love the final thing that you see with this. Don't ever miss the chance to worship God. Whenever you walk into a place that's worshiping God, worship Him. Worship can't be about us, it has to be about God. That's why we push through even when we don't feel like it. Well, I don't feel like worshiping Him. Why do you feel like you don't feel like it? Because the enemy's trying to keep you away from seeing breakthrough. And when you lift your hands and throw off the chains the enemy's had around you, you're going to find breakthrough in your life. And as we conclude, what I love, Acts 2, you see Christians who are all in living. Acts 2:47 tells us, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because it just becomes so amazing to the outside world. And it happened because they were all in. Can we bow our heads across this place? Simply want you to ask one question today in response to this. First of all, I want to give you another opportunity. If you have not given your life to Jesus today, you have an opportunity to do that. Is there anybody here that maybe missed the first call and you just say, Pastor, I want to make sure I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? Just slip up your hand. If you did it the first time around, you're good. Is there anybody else? So here's my question, and I want just you to go before the Lord for a few moments. You say, Jesus, am I all in? I love you so much that I tell you the truth. I mean, I just preach right through Scripture. And when you're all in, it changes the world. It changes you. Jesus, am I all in? You might go, that's a long list, Pastor. Just pick one thing out and just say, Lord, help me. Show me. Are there areas of my life that maybe I'm not all in that I just need to retweak and put back in? That's not a hard issue, but sometimes we can get off track. Sometimes the pressure of life can push us into different spots that we just need to say, okay, God, I got to relook at my priority. I got to relook at these things. Am I on track with you? Am I all in? I want to encourage everyone in this room, just like Acts to and through that portion of Scripture, everyone, everything, all, we ask the Lord that question. It's between you and Him. And if He shows you an area, say, Lord, what does it look like for me to be all in? Jesus, I pray and I thank you for an incredible family here at First Assembly. Lord, I thank you for what you want to do in our midst, God. Lord, I want to thank you for the destiny and the future that you have. Lord God, I thank you that you are going to call people to be all in. And Lord, I thank you that people are going to answer you today. Lord, show us. God, this is not to beat anybody up, but Lord, to encourage them to say, listen, we can all be all in. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing over our people today. God, I thank you that as they go from this, Lord, God, that you're going to protect them and be with them, Lord. God, I thank you that they're changing the world, Lord. God, I thank you that you have such a plan and a future for each person in this room. Lord, help us to be all in everything that we do. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Thank you for being here. Walk in victory. We'll see you on Wednesday night at our prayer service.